Welcome back to the podcast. This is Tweester.
This is Leslie.
Thanks for coming back, Leslie.
My pleasure to be back.
We talked about doing another episode real soon, and here we are. We're already ready to do it.
I know, and it feels like it's been a lot longer than it actually has.
You know, kind of feel that way, but on the other hand, this part of the year has gone by so fast.
Well, you've had so much happen. You've had to move and a bunch of other crazy stuff.
Yeah. I've had some crazy work stuff going on. Yeah. So I've had to take on a lot of responsibility, and then just also good things too. Like, you know, I got to go to a film festival recently, so things to look forward to also help, you know?
Right, and I've been traveling back and forth and training for races, and so it seems like we just kept missing each other, but I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like you've had a good amount of time to kind of mull over some stuff and talk to some people, so maybe it's a good thing that we got some extra time.
Yeah, I definitely had plenty of time to, like, do my research and talk to some really knowledgeable friends, and I'm really close with a lot of people who work for a health shop, a local health shop in town, so I've been able to kind of, like, pick their brains and get some really good information for everybody.
Okay, good. So, for everyone else, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about on this episode?
So we're gonna kind of delve more into the nutrition side of things. I'll be sharing like some of my personal stories, my opinion, what helps me or what I have found to like be the best supplements that have helped me progress in my sport. Then we're gonna kind of go into like the funnier side. I found some really hilarious like fad diets while I was doing my research. So
love fad diets.
I know, and a lot of them are really, really ridiculous. And I'm just gonna go ahead and say this, like we'll say it again when that part comes up, but please don't do any of these fad diets. They're terrible for you. They'll destroy your body. They're literally just in the show to be funny because they're that ridiculous.
Gotcha. So the disclaimer there is that Leslie's saying she is not a nutritionist. Made that clear.
Right. I'm not a nutritionist. These are my own opinions. These are things that I've gathered through just my own personal interest in trying to better myself. So everything I say, take with a grain of salt. If you have questions, you can feel free to reach out to me. If you think that something I say is wrong, like call me out on it. Send me a message on Facebook. Send me a message on Instagram. I would love to hear your side of things because I always want to learn new things. Yeah. So if I've got a different opinion, I'd love to hear about it.
These things that you've talked about, you have talked about with professionals. So there is some credibility behind those conversations at least.
Right, there is. And I mean, I would never just come out and say something completely outlandish. So I have done a lot of research, I promise. But in any situation where you need medical advice, go see a medical professional.
Right. So. This is just to like kind of dip your toe in the water.
Right.
This is just to kind of make you aware of maybe what questions to ask.
This is like nutrition for dummies.
Yeah. You need to know what questions to ask in the first place. So this might help kind of get people ready for that kind of thing.
Right.
Where do you want to start? You talked about fads, supplements, just basic nutrition. Where would you like to start?
I guess we'll just start with kind of the basic nutrition, and I kind of tailored this from a runner's perspective, considering what the last podcast was about. It mostly was running focused, so I'm kind of have it tailored more towards running.
And that's good. I want to stay on that track.
Okay.
Yeah. Since you talked about when we talked about body science or running the first time, we might as well keep it going. And it only makes sense that when you have these conversations with these people, that you would talk about it from your point of view and from a runner's point of view. So that's naturally your information. Is going to come from.
Right, and I have a lot of people that message me, you know, on a weekly basis, ask for help. I give them my perspective of things. Obviously, I've tailored my diet to fit my needs, so I tell them, you know, what I eat and then how to sort of adjust that based on their activity level and what their goals are, because that's always kind of the first question that you need to ask yourself is, how much do I actually do in a day? Like, if you have a desk job and you're sitting on your butt for 8 hours, you're not really burning many calories.
Yeah, you don't need to eat marathon running calories.
Right, yeah. Where I'm eating about 3,000 calories a day, you should probably eat about 1,800 calories a day.
Like, yeah, if you got no movement.
Right, so I'm going to kind of start with that, with the diet, what I do, how I've tailored my diet, and then how you can kind of adjust that to whatever your goals are.
Right on. All right, let's get started.
There's honestly no specialized quote-unquote runner's diet. This is just how I have found what works best for me, and I've talked to a lot of other fellow runners. The only thing that I can really say as far as a specialized runner's diet is you need a lot more carbs. And for the longest time, you know, you see all of these fad diets, which we'll go more into later, that are like cut carbs, no carbs, you know, the keto, paleo, whatever it is. You're not allowed to have bread or anything like that. So for someone who is sedentary, don't need all those carbs. But for someone who is running, 8, 10, 12, 14, however many miles a day, you need a lot more carbs. That is your body's main source of fuel. That is the first thing it burns. That is your main source of energy. And then it goes to fats, and then protein gets burned last.
So you need gas in the tank.
You need gas in the tank if you're a very active person. I typically recommend for everyone, not just runners, 60 to 50% carbs, 25% protein, and 15 to 25% fat. I know in the health industry, it has been very, very protein focused for a very long time. And I can't stress enough, A, how unimportant that is in the long run. Yes, you need protein, but you don't need hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of grams of protein a day. Your body can actually only process 30 grams of protein per hour. So if you sit down and eat a meal in 30 minutes and you have 56 grams of protein, 26 of those grams are just going to be waste products. You're just going to literally go to the bathroom and those are going to be gone.
You're just pooping out a bunch of protein.
Exactly. So your body can only process 30 grams of protein an hour. And if you are someone who is out there drinking all of these protein supplements and protein shakes and eating all the protein bars and all the different specialized products that have come out in this growing market to push protein, that is so bad for your liver. Your liver cannot process that much protein, and it ends up being waste. You're wasting your money, you're wasting your time, you are filling up on things that have no nutritional benefit because you're literally just going to the bathroom and getting rid of them.
Right, so they're just working their bodies internally for no reason to just kind of filter this out and then turn it into waste product. Like, they don't even get to use it all.
Right, correct.
Can I ask you something back about what you said? Just going over the carbs and talking about gas in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had days or weeks where you weren't eating enough carbs and you were still staying active? Do you remember what happened?
Oh, absolutely. And I can definitely tell a difference, definitely physically, but even just mentally. Like, I just feel exhausted both mentally and physically. And that's when it kind of clicks, you know, like, okay, let's think back to what I've had to eat for the past couple of days and what my activity level has been. And it always, I can pinpoint, oh, this day I ate mainly protein or mainly fat and didn't have nearly as many carbs as I needed and went on, you know, a 15-mile run.
Yeah.
So I can definitely, like, pinpoint where I mess up in my diet and don't get enough carbs to fuel my body. So I made sure 3 days before the marathon that I was carb loading. I ate so much pasta, so much bread, and you will see a weight gain when you do that. But to run that many miles in one session, you need that fuel. And I made sure to pack fuel as well, goo and Cliff and things like that I can eat on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Because after, I like to tell people who are serious about running, every 5-6 miles, you need to have some sort of energy boost. So normally the single little servings of like the energy gels or the energy blocks are about 100 calories, 25 grams of carbs per serving. And that's about every 5-6 miles.
Okay.
And this is if you're, like, you know, obviously if you're very serious about your training, very serious about your racing, want to PR. If you don't care, then you don't care. And I, you know, that's fine as well if you just want to run for the fun of it. But serious racers always tell, please, like, every 5 miles or so, give yourself a little boost.
Give yourself a little something.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't put enough gas in the tank, then you're going to be running on fumes. And when you feel like you don't have enough carbs, do you feel like it's harder on your body? Like, you
absolutely.
Feel like...
And recovery time is always slower if I don't eat enough carbs. If I stress my body too much, my performance just isn't great. I feel sluggish. I feel like my legs are heavy. I'm just not mentally in the game. So it definitely has a huge impact on my training.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to jump back on that and kind of get some clarity on carbs because I had a question there. But
oh, yeah.
We can keep going forward now.
And then I think, like, the main thing when I tell people eat more carbs is they think, okay, cool. Like, I can eat donuts and cookies and chips and all these, like, awesome things. And that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, eat vegetables and fruits that are high in carbs. Bananas, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, whole grain bread, whole grain pasta. All these really good, healthy, carb-heavy foods, not your sugared donuts, not, you know, a bag of potato chips. That's not proper nutrition or proper carb loading. That's not going to increase your training. That's just junk in your body.
Right, because it's like different types of carbs, right?
Right, there's complex and simple. You want the complex.
Right, the simple is like the sugary stuff.
Yeah, those sugary processed bullcrap that you see on every supermarket shelf. And they're fun, don't get me wrong. I love a good cookie every now and then, but the key is every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so keep those complex carbs coming.
Exactly.
Oh, it's beautiful alliteration.
And also, make sure that you have enough fat in your diet. I think that's something that's not talked about a lot. The keto diet has been a huge craze, and that is mainly a fat-focused diet, which can be good, but not when that's all you're consuming.
Yeah, they're big on cutting carbs to keto, actually. Yeah, mm-hmm. They cut carbs completely is completely. What they're trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah, you cut your carbs completely, so you're really just kind of eating 50% fat, 50% protein, and that's really bad for your system.
Yeah. So the idea, I have heard of this one. I've heard of keto. The idea behind keto, from what I read, was that since you don't have any carbs to burn, you go straight to burning fat.
That is the concept. The science backing that is minimal. Here's what I will say. When you go on the keto diet, I am not shocked by anyone who loses a drastic amount of weight. Mm-hmm. Because you are cutting out so many food groups. Mm. Everything that you were eating before, you are no longer eating. You are very strict on your diet. Of course, you are going to drop a lot of weight. Mm. I do not doubt that. But the second that you slip up and you eat some carbs, or you have a treat, or you have a cheat meal, you are going to put that weight back on immediately, because your body has gone into ketosis, which is where keto goes from, and it doesn't know what these are anymore. It doesn't know what carbs are anymore. So it's like, oh, goody, look at all this like fuel. Now we can store fat.
Yeah.
So it's really just not a sustainable diet.
Yeah, anecdotally, I've heard the same thing that a lot of people have talked about who tried it, that they lost like 10 or 20 pounds, and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But then they plateau very quickly, and they come to a place where it's hard for them to lose any weight anymore.
Yeah.
Or just get anywhere. And then on top of that, they start feeling the effects of cutting out.
It makes you foggy. Yeah. And like I said, of course you're going to lose weight. You're cutting out so many food groups, it would be impossible for you not to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
But the second that you slip up or get tired of being on that diet, you're just going to be right back where you started, if not heavier.
Yeah.
So really the only sustainable diet is balance.
Lifestyle, right?
Lifestyle, balance, just eat intuitively. And I know that that's a very vague thing to say, and it took me personally a long time to get there. I used to count my macros very diligently, which are your fats, proteins, carbs. I used to count, you know, everything very, very meticulously, and it got to the point where that was just so overwhelming, and I began to know enough about nutrition to where I could say, you know, I'm feeling a certain way, I should eat more of this, or I know that I haven't eaten this in a few days, I should get these vitamins in now. So I think the goal is to just eat with a balance, eat what nourishes you, eat intuitively, and just what makes you happy.
Yeah. Like, oh, I haven't had protein today and half the day's gone by, I'll have some. Or, well, I haven't touched any green vegetables yet today and it's, right, you know, almost evening, maybe I should get some. Like,
exactly.
We kind of know whenever we're fucking up.
We know, we just choose to ignore it.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. I think we would much rather have a burger than some Brussels sprouts, and that's fine every now and then, but take care of yourselves.
Right.
But more carbs mean more glycogen, which I said before is like the primary source of fuel for the body. So for runners, this is very, very important. I don't go by the 60-50% carbs rule. I typically eat about 70% carbs.
But you're running a lot, so.
But I'm running a ton.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So for people who aren't running a ton, or if you're just doing a couple of miles a day, stick to that 50-60. For me, I typically lean towards 70-75, just because I'm putting in, you know, on my high weeks, anywhere from 60 miles a week to, you know, on my lower weeks, 40 miles a week. But that's still just a crap ton of miles, so.
So can I add, what are your some of your favorite healthy carbs to eat? Some of your good carbs, just pasta. In case. Pasta?
Pasta.
Okay, well,
and they're not exactly, okay, so I'll take that back. It's not exactly the healthiest carb, but when I'm carb bloating, my favorite meal before a race is absolutely pasta and butter and Parmesan cheese. That is okay. My favorite.
I mean, it sounds delicious.
Yeah, it is my favorite pre-race meal. And how healthy that is, I can't really testify.
Is there a way to make, like, if you're trying to make that meal healthy?
I would definitely look for a whole grain, whole wheat pasta. Butter is great for you in smaller amounts. Parmesan cheese is okay.
You get a little bit, yeah.
You get a little bit. And then I would just toss in a crap ton of veggies. So I would do a smaller portion of pasta. For me, when I carb load before a race, I do just, you don't want to see it. It's kind of ugly, honestly. Like a gremlin eating.
I kind
of
do now.
But I would do a smaller amount of pasta, butter, Parmesan cheese, and then broccoli, Brussels sprouts, carrots, whatever vegetable you like. Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah, throw those in there, and that will be a really filling.
I mean, you said Brussels earlier, and I kind of am a big fan of Brussels, so.
I think I've been talking about Brussels sprouts so much because I just ate them for dinner.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, the Brussels sprouts are so good.
They're so good.
And they're so good for you.
But as far as healthy, complex carbs, my mother, God rest her soul, was the worst person about this. She was one of those low-carb fanatics, and I distinctly remember having a conversation with her where I had gone to the grocery store and she had come over for whatever reason, and I offered her some carrots. Carrots. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, thank you. They have too many carbs. And it was at that moment that I realized my mother was sort of dumb. Yeah. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So whenever I run into people like that who won't eat vegetables because they have too many carbs, I have to like sit them down and like, tell me why you feel this way, because I need to understand where you're coming from, and hopefully I can like lead you in a better direction, because these are really wonderful complex carbs that have so many micronutrients and beneficial things for your bodies.
All the vitamins
all
in it.
The vitamins.
It's hard to find that many vitamins packed in anything else than vegetables.
And I know so many people who will not eat them because they have too many carbs.
You know, that's where becoming a little too fanatical on a diet, you run into a problem. And it's like where you said before, if they were being intuitive, they would know, what the fuck am I doing? I should eat a carrot.
Right.
You know?
I know, I've got bodybuilder friends and things that will measure out every, you know, speck of food that goes into their mouth, and they will measure out their broccoli and measure out their egg whites. And when you have a certain goal, I understand why that tracking can be important, but it also leads you into some really serious eating disorders.
By nature, like what you said, it becomes obsessive,
it
right?
It becomes obsessive, yes. It is obsessive eating. You become obsessed with this lifestyle, and I am all for goal-oriented people, but there is a very fine line. And I have many friends who have been in that industry, and I've watched people go through these things, and I've gone through them myself. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see someone's dream become something not beneficial for them.
Yeah, someone's dream kind of turned dark on them. Kind of, you know, they went about it in a way that's harsh for themselves.
Right. And I know that we kind of talked about making this its own separate episode, but then the more I thought about it, the more I didn't want to talk about it for that long. So I'm going to kind of briefly like share with you my own personal history with eating disorders. I'm going to make it very quick and simple because it's just not something I really
enjoy. Sure. I think it's pertinent for this episode anyways.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
It's nutrition-based. I had my first eating disorder when I was 17 or 18. I was a senior in high school. It lasted for about 4 years. That was the worst it had ever gotten. I got down to about 75 pounds then. Hospitalized. It was really bad. What brought me out of that one was seeing how it was not only killing me, but like seriously hurting my family. Like they were having to watch me die in this, you know. So
would you say that, do you think they don't know, but then afterwards you found out that of course they knew?
Of course they knew. They're not blind. Of course they did. And I don't think it ever really registered in my head like they didn't know, because there was no way not to know. I mean I'm 5'6", 5'7", and I was 75 pounds. Like, you know.
Right, you were like, there's no real hiding.
Yeah, there's really not at that point. And I mean, I would limit myself to 200 calories a day, and I would run 3-4 miles at that point. I was not, you know, so serious into my running at that point in my life.
Did you become faint or lethargic?
Oh, absolutely. I would get up in the morning and I would eat an apple, and then I would go for a run, and then I would come home and sleep for the rest of the day, and maybe have some cucumber at night, and then go to bed hungry and wake up and do it again.
Did you get used to being hungry?
I did. It's strangely something that you just, it's your own little demon. Like, it just kind of sits there with you. Like, that hunger is, I don't want to call it punishment, because it wasn't necessarily a means of punishment, but it was just like my little friend. He was, I don't know, always there, and you just kind of get used to him.
Yeah.
That time around, I don't really know what started it for me. I've thought about it and talked about it with people, and I really don't, Maybe it was hormones, maybe it was growing up, maybe it was my parents divorcing, I don't know. But getting out of it was simply because I saw how much it was hurting the people who loved me watch me die. I got better for a while. I was better for several years. I thought that I was past it, and then my mother just all of a sudden passed away. And I didn't know how to deal with that trauma. And so I reverted back to the only thing that I knew that I could control, and that was what I ate.
Do you feel like when both times, or maybe just one time, that it was gradual, or do you think it all happened at once? Like, did it sneak up on you?
This time around, it was more gradual. It started out very sincere and very earnest. When my mother passed away, I made a commitment to myself that I was not going to let myself fall in a hole. I wasn't going to be in the bars every night. I wasn't going to drink away my problems or drink away my grief or deal with it in unhealthy ways. So I was very adamant about going out and running and doing what I love to help me cope with my grief. And then that just kind of spiraled, and it got to the point where I just felt like I had no control over anything. The more that we got into, you know, having to divvy up her belongings and sell the house and plan the funeral, like, I just felt like I had no control. So that's where the bulk of the eating disorder kind of all hit at once, and I was restricting my calories more and more and more and more. And I got down, I mean, this past time to like 100 pounds. And I was actually at dinner with my friend before I came over here to do this podcast with you, and we actually kind of briefly talked about this for a little bit, and all my friends knew. My boyfriend knew, my family knew, everyone knew. I had some really loving and supportive and amazing people who just kind of tried to let me deal with it on my own, try to have my back as much as they could, express their concern in ways that weren't so confronting that it would have made it worse. So I did have some really amazing people backing me. And at the same time, I kind of learned who my real friends were then as well, because I also had some friends that I thought were friends talk about me behind my back.
Right.
Spread rumors, tell people I had cancer, like, just really mean girl stuff.
Yeah, the people, the drama vampires, as I like to sometimes call them.
So I definitely, and I'm not expecting people to understand it. If you haven't gone through it, I don't expect you to understand it. And I've had to learn the hard way who is there and who just pretends to be there. Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough thing, too, because, you know, someone might want to say something, but then you come to that, you have that question of, if I say something, are they going to take it as me helping, or are they just going to, am I just going to drive them away, and then there's absolutely nothing I can do?
Right, and that's actually the exact conversation that I was having with my friend before this. She was just like, I really wanted to say something to you, and I wanted you to know how much I cared about you, and I just wanted you to be well, I wanted you to eat, and she just said that she didn't know how to approach it without offending me and making it worse and starting a fight and causing a rift. And I completely understand that, because I 100% had my head up my ass. I was in my own world. I was grieving, and I was thinking about the pain that I was in and not the pain that I was causing other people. So eating disorders can be really ugly, and it really pains me to see others going through their health journey the wrong way and developing these really, really awful habits that can cause them a lot of harm.
And just from what you've told me, I think I really understand now when people say an eating disorder develops, because it just doesn't, you know, a person might think it happens all at once if they don't see someone for a little bit, and then they see them, and then it's there.
Right.
Because to them, in their mind, it just happened.
Right.
Right? But in reality, the reason a person might be, I guess, in denial, or they might be defensive, is because it happens so gradually. You think you're doing it, like you were talking about, like some bodybuilders. Mm-hmm. They think they're like, no, I'm just being responsible. Then they become obsessive, and then before they realize it, they're in a problem.
It is 100% that way. Throughout most of this eating disorder, this past time, I thought that I was in complete control. I thought that I was so healthy, so fit. I looked amazing. Like, I thought I was hot shit. And in reality, I looked like a skeleton. Like, I look back at pictures of me from that time, and I'm appalled that I let myself do that. And I remember, like, sitting down and having a conversation with my boyfriend, and he, you know, he was mad. And he was rightfully so mad. I had been lying to him, and that was the main thing, because I was telling him, I'm fine. Like, you know, defending my actions, and, you know, that's one thing he said too, is like, I defended you. I defended you to everyone, and you've been lying to me. So it can be this just really toxic thing in not only the individual's life, but in everyone who loves them's life. Like, it's just this big ball of toxic energy, and it just, it consumes you.
Well, I'm glad you got out of it.
Me too.
And that you're able to, like, talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, and I remember texting you about it, and I remember kind of being trepidatious about opening up and talking about it, just because, honestly, I'm still kind of scared of the backlash that it receives. There's still very much, like, a stigma around it. It's still a hard thing to talk about, but I'm glad that we did.
Just use my method. Fuck them.
Yeah, so I'm kind of to the point now, after all of this and after growing and learning and getting through all that, like, I know who my real friends are. I know the people who have my back, and I know that me being vocal about this isn't going to make them ashamed of me or embarrassed or, you know.
Yeah.
So.
It's a thing.
It's a
thing. You got through it, and then you can, you know, maybe tell someone else so they don't have to.
Exactly.
That's all you can really hope for.
And if you are someone who struggles, I'm going to kind of segue this into what we need to be talking about.
Back into nutrition.
This. Yeah, back into nutrition. If you are someone who struggles with that, please, 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 please reach out to me. You can hit me up on Facebook. It's just Leslie Payne. Or you can hit me up on Instagram. It's Leslie_runs. I was talking to a young girl the other day who came to me for advice, and she said that she had gone to a clinic, and they told her that she needed to be eating 1,100 calories a day. And that is so bad. Like, I cannot stress to you how bad that is. For a grown woman who works in 9-to-5 and is raising a toddler, is what she said, you're running around all day. And your toddler should be eating 1,100 calories a day.
Yeah.
Not you. And just to kind of put that in perspective, I went to our local health shop, and I kind of, I got a body scan done, and it kind of shows you the basis, like, muscle density, blah, 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 resting energy expenditure. And my resting energy expenditure was 1,300 calories. So that's what my body uses just to, like, stay alive.
Okay. I didn't know that that could be measured on an individual level. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I want to do that now.
Yeah, you should.
Or I find something depressing. They're like, yeah, you only need like 800 calories. And I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have to eat soup every day.
Yeah, so mine alone, just to keep my organs functioning properly, is 1,300 calories a day. And this young girl was eating 1,100. So I kind of just talked her through it, like told her what I was eating, what my statistics were, and kind of made myself relatable to her so she could kind of see like how dangerous this is to be eating so little. I think there's a lot of misinformation in the market, and I think there's a lot of misinformation of eating less will make you happier, and that's not the case. You're destroying your body, you are inflaming your muscles and your organs, you are damaging your liver and your organs, dehydrating yourself. So much damage can be done.
Sounds like you're not like recovering properly either.
So much damage can be done in such a short amount of time. Please do your research and don't go to these clinics that tout weight loss when it's just starving yourself.
And listen to the common mama knowledge.
Yeah.
Eat your vegetables.
Eat your vegetables. Eat your fruits and vegetables. I think we talked about this briefly on the last episode where I just said it a million times. Eat your fruits and vegetables.
Eat them.
There's really not much more to be said. So I think kind of going into that, these are some of the ridiculous fad diets I found. Are you ready?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Fad diets, okay. Please.
All right. So the first one I found was the cabbage soup diet.
The cabbage soup diet. I've heard of that one.
Mm-hmm. Where all you eat is variations of cabbage soup.
Well, cabbage soup is delicious, but for every meal.
Yeah, I've never had cabbage soup, but I can imagine it not being great after every single meal.
I don't think anything would. No. I mean, you pick something that you love. I love tacos.
Right.
If I ate tacos for three meals a day for 3 days in a row, I would feel like a ball of grease. I don't think I'd be able to just live, you know, like anything.
Yeah. So the next step was the baby food diet.
Baby food? I haven't heard of that one. What's that one?
That's all you eat is baby food. That's it. You just go to the store and buy jars of baby food and that's all you eat.
Yeah, but do you eat the amount a baby would?
That was not clear. That is yet to be, like, determined.
You'd have to buy so much baby food.
You would have to buy, yeah.
That would be so expensive.
I couldn't actually find, like, the guideline of, like, how many baby foods you should be eating in a day. But, yeah, it's just called the baby food diet.
Yeah, but you know the funny thing about that is that if you like some of the baby food, I've seen some people talk about, like, whenever they were babysitting or whatever, they tried some of the baby food, and they're like, yeah, it's like this pea and carrot mix, and it's really good. I'm like, yeah, you can just make an adult version of that. Just get some fucking peas and carrots and, like, make a bowl, but a bowl for you. You know, it's stuff like that. I don't know. You can just make that stuff yourself. That does seem silly. I almost wonder, maybe it's just the cynical side of me, but, like, if that came about from the Gerber company.
Maybe it's like a promo, like, please eat more baby food.
Yeah, to get adults to eat baby food too.
I'm not really sure. And then the next one I found was called the 5-Bite Diet. This one is the most toxic one that I found in this entire list. Basically, the 5-Bite Diet was you can only eat 5 bites of food a day.
What the fuck?
Yeah. You can have whatever you want. There's no limitations. But you can only have 5 bites of food a day. So if you want a donut in the morning, you can take 1 bite. And for lunch, you can take 2 bites.
I feel like people would be cheating. Like, someone would stack 3 pizzas.
And take 1 bite, yeah.
Take 1 giant bite instead of just eating 1 slice of pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so stupid.
So that was the most toxic one that I found, was the 5-bite diet. So you could have 1 bite of food for breakfast, 2 bites of food for lunch, and 1 bite of food for dinner.
That's ridiculous.
And also, can we just comment on how wasteful that would be?
Yeah.
You are wasting so much food.
You really are.
Yeah.
God, how are you supposed to even eat an entire vegetable? You just, thanks for the carrot toss.
Yeah.
So dumb.
That one was really bad.
You keep talking about carrots. It's because you said carrots.
This one I thought was kind of funny. It was called the werewolf diet.
What?
So this one, I didn't ever fully understand exactly what the rules were.
Do you eat the heart of your enemies?
No. The gist that I got from it was every full moon, you do a cleanse. So for the duration of the full moon, all you do is, like, this some sort of cleanse, and you just cleanse your body every full moon. And it's called the werewolf diet.
But, like, you fast?
I suppose. I don't know what kind of cleanse, like, you're doing.
People just fast.
Or, like, a juice cleanse. Anyways. It wasn't very clear.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, when the full moon comes around, don't eat.
Yeah.
Or just drink juice or something.
Kind of. It was not very clear, so.
Yeah, that just.
I just wrote that one down because I thought the name was funny.
Yeah, you know what? I bet that's exactly why they made that diet. Yeah. They're like, oh, it'd be so cool, werewolf diet. Yeah. Oh, we have to actually come up for something. Let's just throw some bullshit to the wall.
The next one was the grapefruit diet. I think a lot of people have actually heard about the grapefruit diet.
The grapefruit diet. That's an old one, isn't it?
Same concept as cabbage soup diet. You only eat grapefruits.
God, that would get so. You would end up developing
so much acid
reflux. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're just doing nothing but eating and drinking acid. No thanks.
The next two are my least favorite because these are ones that I have actually known people to do.
Oh, fuck.
And they are very, very toxic.
Okay, let's hear it.
So the next one is the cotton ball diet.
What?
This is where you dip cotton balls into different sauces like ketchup or barbecue sauce or mustard or what have you.
Uh-huh.
And you just eat cotton balls.
Why?
Because it fills you up.
Does that mess with your insides?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And then I'm sure pooping is weird now.
Mm-hmm. But all of that cotton just fills your stomach up and you feel full.
That's ridiculous. Probably started by the cotton ball industry. Let's take one quick break because I got to run to the bathroom. So we'll just be right back. Back from the bathroom. So we just talked about the cotton ball diet. You had one more, I think?
Yeah, so this next one is the tapeworm diet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I know you've seen it on TV or movies or whatever.
And celebrities were doing it.
Yeah, people actually do this. People actually swallow live tapeworms and then take a pill after they feel like they've lost enough weight and just poop it out.
Right. Except the problem is the tapeworm also does damage to you. Like, it doesn't just go, I'll eat the extra food that you're eating.
It is a parasite. It hurts you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why people were surprised by this.
It's not your fucking meal, buddy.
Nope, it's not. and then there was actually one more. This one's not a diet, but this one is something that has gotten on my nerves since day one, It was the biggest internet fad for the longest time. I made several posts about it, and it's the freaking celery juice.
Celery juice?
I hate it so much. Every morning, these Instagram influencers were making these big, huge mason jar glasses full of celery juice and just touting all of the amazing benefits that they got from it. You know, clearer skin, better digestion, better sleep, anything you could name. And none of that is true. None of that is true.
Yeah.
When you juice celery, so celery is mainly water, you are stripping it of all of its fiber. So any good thing that you got from that vegetable is now gone. All the fiber is gone. All you're left for is just watery pulp.
Right, right. It's kind of like they say, you know, if you eat the peel of an apple, that's where a lot of your right. nutrition value comes from. Same with the peel of a cucumber, like peel a potato. It's a lot of these things, the rind or the peel is important.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, there has been a lot of research done on celery juice since it became so popular, and there are no clear benefits. They have done months and months and months and months of lab testing and test subjects drinking celery juice every day to no clear benefit.
Instagram models lied.
Yeah.
Preposterous.
I know. So this is something that bothers me a lot. It tastes like grass. It's stupid. Stop drinking your celery. Just eat it.
Just
like
eat your celery if you're going to eat
it. Put some peanut butter on it. Eat your celery.
It
like
already has
person.
So little nutritional value. I mean,
exactly.
It's mostly water
it's
and
mostly
then
water.
A little bit of a fibrous kind of skin to it.
Which, so. I mean, there are some good vitamins in celery, don't get me wrong. But to actually have enough amount to
you
like
need,
actually matter.
You need to eat a few.
Yeah. So yeah, stop That's, drinking
they,
celery.
They got that cool crunch to them.
Okay, so I think from there, we'll kind of move into foods that are good for you, and stay away from those bad diets.
Let's do it. What's, what are some good foods?
So, these are foods that I have found to be essential for my training and my diet. Bananas. I love bananas so much. I eat them every day, sometimes more often, sometimes twice a day. But they are a very high carb fruit, and they're very high in potassium. I think that's kind of well known.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're portable. You can take them anywhere. I love bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Oats are next on the list. They are very high in carbs, high in fiber, low glycemic index, low blood sugar. So your blood sugar rises slowly since it is a complex carb. It doesn't give you that spike.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it processes.
If you ate a donut, for example.
Right, right. So if I've got a long day ahead of me or if I've got a long run planned, I will have oatmeal for breakfast because I know that's going to give me a really steady release of energy. Next thing is peanut butter. It's got a lot of vitamin E and protein, also a lot of healthy fats. I am obsessed with peanut butter. I put it on everything. Again, they have really portable packets for peanut butter now. It's easier to just throw in your bag and go.
Have you seen the farmers markets where they have like locally made peanut butters?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
I mean, I'm familiar with like the Kroger one where you can go and like make your own peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you go to like a Trader Joe's or if you go to like a Whole Foods or something like that, sometimes they'll sell them too. They'll sell like regionally made peanut butter.
I have not seen
And
those.
It's like just, it's just naturally made. Not that right. like, you know, even processed peanut butter doesn't seem to be that bad.
It's not terrible. I will say though, the less ingredients you can have in your food, the better.
Yeah, the more just mashed up peanut butter right. you can get, the better.
Exactly.
But yeah, the stuff's like, it's gonna, of course it's gonna be more expensive, but if you ever get the chance, just, it's so good.
I'm gonna go to Trader Joe's tomorrow.
It's so good.
And then so next on the list we have broccoli. I eat broccoli at least 4 or 5 times a week. It's so easy to just make a big batch in the oven and just kind of meal prep some stuff. It's got a lot of vitamin C and vitamin K, as well as folic acid and calcium. Calcium is something that I need to be more careful about since I am a vegetarian. I am slowly kind of cutting out milk and cheese and things like that, so mm-hmm. I don't get as much calcium as I need.
Gotta keep those bones strong.
I gotta keep the bones strong, so broccoli is my go-to. I do still eat yogurt. That is next on the list. That is one of my main sources of calcium. Again, cultures, probiotics, really good for the gut. Intestinal health for runners is really important because you are running, your organs are literally bouncing up and down for a very long duration of time.
Right.
So gut health is very important. That's where your probiotics come in.
Cottage cheese good too there?
Yeah, it is. I'm not a huge fan of cottage cheese.
But, I mean, just like the nutritional level, like the cultures and everything.
The cultures and everything. You're wanting something just very high in probiotics. So even just like a probiotic supplement would be fine as well if you don't like yogurt.
Gotcha. I dig cottage cheese. I know. I know. Texture, I'm like a 60-year-old man. I know.
The flavor doesn't bother me. It's just the texture.
It's the texture. Yeah. They have big curd and they have small curd.
I don't like either of them. I've tried.
I get small curd and then I either... Whatever fruit looks like it's going to go bad first, I just chop a little bit of that up or just throw it in.
Oh, okay.
And then you get, now this is important, drizzle honey. You do not glob it. You drizzle the honey. And
see,
then...
every time that I've had cottage cheese, I've made it kind of savory instead of sweet.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that's my problem. Maybe I need to try it sweet.
I've only ever had it with like fruits.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've never had it. Wait, what do you mean savory? Like, what have you had it with?
Just like salt and pepper and cucumbers.
Oh, I do that to my grits. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. I'll try them. If
the other way didn't work, try it with a fruit that you like. Yeah. Maybe it'll change your mind.
I'll do it with some pineapple or something.
But I digress. Go ahead.
Okay, so the next on the list is dark chocolate. I think everyone will be very happy about that.
Oh no, yeah. I have to eat dark chocolate now?
I know. So dark chocolate actually helps reduce inflammation.
Mm.
So, you know, even just a couple squares a night just to kind of relax, an afternoon treat or, you know, before bedtime treat will help you reduce your inflammation.
I wonder if that's good for people with joint inflammation, like arthritis and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Oh man.
Yeah, dark chocolate is awesome. Also red wine.
Red wine. Mm-hmm. So one glass of red wine, 2 squares of dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. But...
And you're healthy. Ta-da!
But it does have to be dark chocolate, not milk chocolate.
Yeah, you want to aim for at least 70%.
Yeah. Like if it's really sweet, you're doing it wrong.
Right. And then, so the next is whole grain pasta. We talked a little bit about that earlier when you asked me what my favorite meals were. So whole grain pasta is really high in carbs, obviously, and also vitamin B.
Mm.
Next on the list, and this might have some debate, but coffee.
Coffee, huh?
Coffee. So it is, caffeine has been proven to have many benefits with your metabolism. It kind of speeds up your metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives you that, I don't want to say organic, I hesitate to say that, but better for you than any energy drink will give you.
Okay.
So
okay.
It gives you a more natural energy boost.
Gotcha.
A lot of the other processed, like, monster drinks and stuff like that.
I mean, I've heard oftentimes that, I think, you know, we all know that energy drinks are bad for us.
Right.
Yeah, you don't really have to preach on that one. Anyone, you tell that to anyone, even the biggest monster Red Bull drinker or whatever, and they're like, yeah, okay, I know.
Right. It's kind of like smoking at this point. Like, you know it's bad.
You know it's bad, yeah. But coffee, it's like, it really is just like kind of wine, isn't it? You stay to one cup a day. If you do more than one cup, now you're no longer really getting the benefits of it.
Well, and I'm the first person to admit, like, I think even my Instagram says, like, avid coffee drinker, and I mean that very seriously.
We have our vices.
Like, I am a coffee addict. I will have several cups throughout the day. It's fine. I'm fine.
Yeah. But for the purposes of nutrition.
But for the purposes of nutrition, try to limit to one.
One. And then you keep it mostly black, right?
Mostly black. You don't want to dump a ton of sugar in there or creamer. That's when you start, you know, by the time you get all your cream and sugar in there, it's now a 400 calorie cup of just crap.
Okay. So if I was someone that, now I like black coffee.
Okay.
But I also like other coffees too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just pretend for a second that I'm the kind of person that, oh, I feel like I just can't do black coffee, but I do want to try to get these benefits. What would you say is a good thing to do to, like, maybe doctor the coffee a little bit without going crazy or without just ruining it? I feel like you're a good person to ask because you're such an avid coffee drinker.
So I hesitate to endorse artificial sweeteners because there is a lot of backlash, and there have been proven studies that, you know, they're just not all that great for you. However, it is my vice. I use artificial sweeteners, and I'm not sorry about it.
Okay, so...
However, if you want to go on a more natural route, I would suggest stevia.
Stevia, huh?
I personally don't really like the taste of it, but I know a lot of people who do. So you can do stevia. Also, there's a brand that I actually endorse called Coffee Over Cardio. And they have specific creamers that are very low in sugar and are all natural, kind of level out your blood sugar, don't give you a spike, and don't just add in a bunch of junk.
So maybe you can, like, put in just a little dairy, maybe you can put in just a little sugar. The point is, little.
Little bit, yeah.
Like, maybe keep it to one packet, maybe keep it to, like, one, you know, one tablespoon of dairy.
Right.
Just, and then you're okay.
And, I mean, again, if you're someone who can't just drink black coffee and you have to have it super, super sweet, maybe try to find something else. Because by the time you add in all of those creams and sugars, you're not really drinking coffee.
When I was reading up on keto, going back to ketosis, there was something that those people used to swear by called bulletproof coffees. Have you heard of this?
Yes, actually, our good buddy Spencer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he swears by bulletproof coffee.
So what's a bulletproof coffee? I heard them talk about it, but I never looked it up.
So it, and I might be wrong about this because it's been a while since he's talked about it with me, but I'm pretty sure it's like coffee and coconut oil and like a stick of butter.
A stick of butter.
I, again, might be wrong about that. All right. But I'm
You did say that some butter is good for you. Maybe
some
not
butter
a,
is good for you.
Maybe just like a small square.
But again, like ketosis is really heavy on the fats.
Well, that's, yeah. That makes sense. But the, you had me when you said the black coffee and the coconut oil.
Yeah.
I could dig that.
What? I think it was coconut oil. It was some sort of like fatty oil.
Yeah, there are, the coconut oil does come in like the jars.
Right, right.
And it has like pieces of coconut in it, like granulated and stuff. Yeah.
But basically, it was like an 800 calorie cup of coffee by the time that you were done with it. And that was like your meal. That was your breakfast.
Jesus. Okay, yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far. No. But you know what? It might be worth looking up how much coconut oil. I could do a black coffee and maybe, I don't know, a spoonful of coconut oil or something. I might try that.
I would do your research because, I mean, a spoonful of coconut oil is still...
Could be a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm going to look it up, but I don't think I'm going to go the butter route. I think I'll just stick to, like, maybe a little coconut oil in my black coffee.
Actually, I saw a commercial, speaking about butter coffee, I saw a commercial the other day on TV, and it was for this coffee called Grass Fed, and it was literally butter coffee.
Just butter coffee.
Just butter coffee. How gross does it sound? I can't get behind that. I just can't do it. Okay, so don't put a bunch of crap in your coffee.
You know, butter coffee sounds, I just thought of this. It sounds like you would shit so much.
Okay, not to be gross, but that's kind of what Spencer said. Like, it just, like, you drink it and then you just gotta go sit in the bathroom for a while.
So maybe don't have a butter coffee before you go on a date or something.
Right, that would be a terrible
Because regular coffee does that enough. I don't need help.
Yeah. So yeah, apparently it just kind of really clears you out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the gist of that is if you don't like coffee, don't drink it. Don't put a bunch of crap in it just to make it tolerable.
Yeah.
Find an energy boost somewhere else. Drink
Do something else. Yeah.
So, next up is potatoes, specifically sweet potatoes.
Potatoes.
I know. I love potatoes. But more specifically, sweet potatoes are very good for you. They're high in potassium and vitamin A. They're a good source of carbs. So, they're one of my favorite staples in my diet.
That's right. The carbs for sweet potatoes, if I remember correctly, are better than the carbs for regular potatoes because they break down slower, right?
They break down slower. They're more complex. So, you, again, get that more steady release of energy.
Yeah, I know that because I know a diabetic and they can't really eat sweet or regular potatoes anymore. Or if they do, they have to eat a small portion. But they can still eat sweet potatoes because they break down slower. It doesn't like all go into the bloodstream right away.
So those are all some really, really important staples of my diet. Things that I have found that really make it easy to kind of stay on track and to give me the energy that I need.
Okay.
And now I think I'm going to kind of delve more into the supplements that I have found.
Yes, I'm curious about the supplements.
Yeah. So I kind of stated this briefly. Calcium is something that is hard for me to get enough of. So I do take calcium every day. It reduces the risk of stress fractures. That's something that runners really have to think about because we put so much stress on our bodies.
Is that akin to like shin splints?
Kind of. So basically stress fracture is just repetitive stress on a bone.
Mm-hmm.
So you are hitting the pavement every day for X amount of times and then it gradually starts to just kind of splinter like wood until you hit it that one wrong time and then it just snaps. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. So stress fractures are a big risk. So make sure you're getting enough calcium. And the recommended dosage is about 1,000 milligrams a day. Not that hard to get. Most pills are 1,000 milligrams.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure like as far as like eating naturally like whole foods is like how much cheese or milk or whatever you would need to get.
You know what?
But
I'll jump on the grenade and try to eat enough cheese and drink enough milk.
Good, good.
Mainly the cheese.
Okay. I don't think that's a good idea, but you do you.
I mean, I'll try to find another food to supplement it. I'll figure out what vegetable has the most calcium and it'll be some cheese. and then that vegetable.
Well, that's why people eat broccoli and cheddar.
Oh, God, yes. It's not just because it's delicious?
No, it's calcium.
Happy day.
Okay, so the next one is omega-3s. They reduce muscle soreness and increase lean body mass. So you're going to find your omega-3s mainly in, like, fatty fish, like salmon. I don't eat seafood nearly as much as I need to, so I do take, again, omega-3 supplements. The recommended dosage is, again, about 1,000 milligrams a day.
Hmm. You're right. It is hard to eat seafood that often.
It's really hard to see and really expensive to eat seafood that often. God,
why does seafood have to be so expensive? I would eat it more often. I really would.
That I'm a little bit more lenient on. I don't take 1,000 milligrams a day. I typically do it 3 to 4 times a week.
So are there not many other things that you know of that have omega-3 in them besides fish?
There are a ton of other things if I really kind of looked into it. I did not do enough research on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I've kind of heard of other things before when it comes to most other vitamins and minerals, but omega-3, I've only ever heard fish.
I think chia has a lot of omega-3s.
Oh, great. Another thing we don't encounter.
I know.
Why is omega-3 so tough?
I did not do all of my research on that, so I don't have a huge list of like omega-3s.
That's fine. Hey, we should all look stuff up later anyways.
You guys look it up yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Homework.
Yeah, can't have someone do all the work. You can't spoon feed you.
The next one is vitamin D. This one is another one that's really important for me. It's difficult to get because it's not found in most foods. Our bodies only make it when we're exposed to UV rays.
Oh no, I have to go outside?
Yeah. So there are very, very, very few foods that have any trace amounts of vitamin D. Like I said, you can only really get it when you go outside and your body's exposed to sunlight.
Okay, now they do make vitamin D milk.
Yes, so that is they're basically crushing vitamin D pills and just putting it into your milk.
Yes!
So it is actually not naturally found in, that's why like your milk box will say fortified.
Fortified, okay, yeah.
So it doesn't, it's not naturally, it's not naturally found in milk. They fortify it, quote unquote.
Make my bones strong and get my vitamin D. I can do that.
So I take vitamin D supplements. I take 1,000 milligrams a day. That is one that I can definitely say has made a huge difference in my life.
Yeah.
It's made me happier, healthier. I've got more energy. So vitamin D is something that like I will easily suggest to anyone who is lethargic or having trouble, you know, getting through the day without taking a nap.
Okay. So if you want to be a shut-in, you can still do it if you get these pills and if you drink some vitamin D milk, maybe.
I wouldn't say that. I would say still probably get out in the sunshine. It makes us better.
I'm going to hold hope.
No, it makes us better.
I'm so white, I burn so easy. You know, I like to limit my time out in the sun. I love to go outside whenever it's cloudy and overcast and rainy. Mm. That's my best time. I love it.
You need to go to Seattle then. So the next one on the list is creatine. This benefits high intensity training, so it's safe at normal doses, and it actually may result in minor weight gain because you're holding water. Mm. So what creatine does is it actually holds water in your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in your actual like tract system, it's not in your organs, it's in your muscles. So your muscles are holding more water and the muscles are growing. So I have used creatine on and off throughout the years. I cannot personally tell a huge difference in my muscles. However, my physical therapist and my sports therapist both have been able to tell, like, just kind of doing some body work, they can feel my muscles and can definitely tell, like, oh, your muscles are more hydrated.
Mm.
So I guess it does do some more good. It's just not something that I can personally notice myself.
I remember in high school, a lot of football players used to swear by creatine. They were all just every single day. They had the creatine shakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a lot of science behind it. There's a lot of good research that actually proves that it benefits a lot of athletes. So the next is protein. So we talked a little bit about not overloading your system with protein.
Right.
The only reason why I kind of have it on this list is for people who are in my situation. So if you're a vegetarian, it is something that you need to think about more than a, you know, omnivore.
Right.
I will have a protein bar or something in the morning and then, you know, make sure I have like a Boca burger or something with some protein in it. So there's a very fine line of balancing your protein. You don't really want to get more than about 25% of your daily intake.
If you're a vegetarian, you can, beans, right?
Yeah, beans. You have to eat a lot of beans to get enough protein.
Yeah?
Yeah. Black beans are higher, but I try to stick to eggs, things like that, peanut butter. So protein is one that's hard to tailor to someone unless I know your specific like activity level and your dietary restrictions, things like that. So that one's kind of hard to say for each individual person.
Right, right. Just, you know, you again, being intuitive, you could probably tell if you're, you don't need that third steak.
Right.
Like you've got enough protein. You're okay.
And then the last one, actually, no, I'll take it back. Second to last one is tart cherry. This one is something new that I found out and has really helped me. So tart cherry juice, or you can actually get it in capsule form, reduces pain and inflammation in your muscles. It has a lot of benefits. The thing that you want to make sure that you get is it's not just cherry juice, it's tart cherry juice.
Okay.
And I can definitely tell a difference. And they've done several studies. If I drink tart cherry juice before bed after a long run, I wake up so much lighter on my feet the next morning. Like, I can definitely tell I'm less sore.
Less inflamed. Yeah.
And then the last one I have on my list is rhodiola. This is also a new one. And this is what someone recommended to me at our local health shop. It is an adaptogen. It's an herb. It's used to increase endurance, stamina, strength, energy, mental capacity. It helps the body adapt to stress. So you'll see it actually in a lot of blends of tea, like stress blends. Mm-hmm. Like, so you'll see rhodiola in that. It's a really, really awesome herb.
Do you know how to spell that?
It is R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A.
Okay, rhodiola.
Mm-hmm. So it is a really amazing herb that I have found with the help of some really knowledgeable friends. And it has, I can say, really increased my endurance and my stamina. My legs will give out far faster than my lungs will now. So it's really helped.
Hey, you don't have to twist my arm to get a new type of tea.
So it's really good, yeah. Keep on the lookout for that.
So we've gone through the supplements. We've gone through the dietary needs. We've gone through some of the fads out there. But it sounds like it all kind of comes back to keep a good balance.
Yeah, balance is definitely key. And no one expects you to be a master at it the first go around. Like I said, there was a huge learning curve for me. It's taken me years to get to this place. It's taken me years to be able to eat intuitively. There are people out there that will help you. I will help you in any way that I can. There are a lot of really knowledgeable sources and people out there. So do your research, find the right one. Just all of these fad clinics like Slim Waist Academy, like just when they're telling you to eat under 1800 calories a day, just tell them to
fuck off.
Yeah. Because that's just so unhealthy.
Honestly, when you go through and you do your research and you look stuff up, it sounds like anyone can get the information they need if they don't try to take shortcuts.
Right.
And if they don't try to look up shortcuts. And that's when they go down rabbit holes of places with bad information, misinformation, or places just trying to take your money to sell you something right. That's not going to help you in the long run.
And I hate to say this because I mean no disrespect to anyone, but a lot of it I find comes from laziness.
It does. Yeah. And that's not like disrespectful. People, there are good characteristics of people and bad characteristics. And on any given day, you can embody any one of those.
Right.
Like tomorrow, maybe tomorrow I end up being really lazy. That doesn't mean that's the entirety of my personality.
Right.
But it's okay to call someone lazy if they're being lazy. And if you are looking for shortcuts in your nutrition and your health, you're probably being lazy.
Right. And there's a lot of dangerous misinformation out there. And one of the most heartbreaking things that the young woman that we were talking about earlier said to me after I told her, like, you should definitely be eating more than 1,100 calories was, she said, and I quote, "Thank God I'm starving." Like, of course you are. Of course you are. My dog eats more than you.
Yeah.
Like, so just please go to the right sources. Do your research. Try to look for credentials. Doctors. People who have degrees. Like, these are people who know what they're talking about.
Right. And I would also, this might be my cynical nature, but I find that sometimes it does suit me. If someone's trying to help you and not just sell you something.
Right.
Then you can trust them more.
When you go to these people who are trying to sell you a pyramid scheme, like the first one that comes to mind is like Airbon. They're trying to sell you all these nutritional supplements and they don't care. They don't give a shit about your health. They just want your money.
Yeah.
Because that's how they're paying for them, like their family. It's this whole scheme. So stay away from all that crap. Stop listening to people who just want your money.
A good rule of thumb, I think, is a supplement supplements, which you're already doing.
Right.
If they sell it to you as a miracle,
right,
then they're lying.
Like all those slim teas and things like that break my heart.
Like when they tell you this is all that you need, nothing right. else, only this.
Right. You don't have to ever leave your couch, just drink this tea and you'll lose 50 pounds.
You're ridiculous.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it sounds like we're pretty much wrapped up here. But before we go, I was wondering if, just for fun, if you could just tell me some of your, like, healthy meals that you really enjoy.
Sure.
Just in case anyone's curious out there. If someone's been sitting on the couch eating junk for a year and they're like, fuck, I don't know. What is good to eat out there that's good for you?
So when I meal prep, I try to keep it really simple. I work a very stressful job, so I'm on my feet 8, 10, 12 hours a day, not including my runs. So I keep it very, very simple. I go for breakfast. I'll either do a little breakfast burrito, which I'll just get a tortilla and do scrambled eggs, like soy sausage, a little bit of cheese, some, you know, whatever toppings I want, salsa, yada, yada, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make several of those, wrap them up, and keep those in the fridge for the week to just grab while I'm running out the door. Snacks, I will do like yogurt and granola and fruits and vegetables. Like I said earlier, I like to just get a big sheet pan and just fill it with vegetables and throw it in the oven, roast it, and then just kind of separate it out throughout the week.
I can dig it.
Yeah, fish is really easy to keep for a few days in the fridge, so I'll throw in a couple fillets of fish in the oven, have those ready to go. I'm big on peanut butter sandwiches when I'm in a pinch. They're not the worst thing for you.
Maybe get some good whole wheat bread.
Yeah, get some good whole wheat bread. It's not the worst option. So if you're really struggling for time, PB&J, there's nothing wrong
with it. What do you like your fish with? I really like a lot of lemon on mine and some spice usually.
I don't like a lot of lemon. I typically just kind of throw it in there and hope for the best. I'm not the most talented chef, so I just kind of sprinkle it with a little salt and pepper and just kind of
Hey, you know what? If the fillet's good enough,
yeah,
salt and pepper's perfect. Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
My girlfriend makes this dish that I really love. It's arugula and Brussels sprouts and mushrooms.
Yep.
And then she'll make a couple eggs and put the eggs on top of it. Like it'll be in a bowl, all that stuff there. And then she'll put like an egg on top.
That sounds really good.
And it actually is so good. And I'm also, as I'm eating it, I'm like, I don't feel guilty at all. This stuff's great.
After this episode, I'm going to have her make that for us.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll right. No. So as far as like veggies, like you said, Brussels sprouts are some of my favorite. I'll just throw Brussels sprouts and broccoli, carrots, whatever else I have on hand, squash in the oven, and they're good to go. And they'll last up to 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Dinners are sort of iffy. It really just kind of depends. I try to just at least have breakfast and lunch and my snacks set up. And then dinner, I kind of just worry about when it gets there.
Do you like broccoli and carrot stir fry?
I do.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you don't use too much oil.
Actually, lately my dinners have been like brown rice, avocado, and like a crumbled up Boca burger because I've just been like exhausted by the end of the day and I don't want to do anything else. So even still, like, I try to get, you know, my carbs, my fats, my protein. So
yeah. And brown rice is so good.
I know. I kind of feel bad now, like, sharing with your listeners, like, some of my meal ideas, because I just now realize, like, all of my meals are just really basic and simple. Like, I don't go out of my way. I just try to make sure that I have all of my food groups in a day.
I mean, that's fine. You start simple, and then people go, one day they go, I'll add this one thing. Oh, that was good.
Right.
Maybe I'll do it this way, or this, or that. You know? Like, that's how you start.
Right. No, I just try to eat out of convenience right now, honestly. So I need fast, easy, healthy things. So
fair enough. All right. Well, thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me again.
And I don't think it'll be too long before you come back.
No, I think we've got some more things to discuss for sure.
Plenty more.
Plenty more.
All right. Well, this has been Tweester.
This has been Leslie.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
Bye. You know, man.